Hello and welcome to this episode of the Magnetic Woman Show. I'm your host, Lauren Joyce, and today I want to talk about the resurrection of the feminine. So, this episode is going live on Good Friday, so the Friday before Easter. As many of you know, if you've listened to my content at all, I was raised Catholic. I went through 10 years of Catholic school, and Lent and Easter was like an event, right? When I was in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade at my Catholic school, we would perform the Stations of the Cross. And when you're, a 12-year-old student in a Catholic school, you think this is like the height of your life, essentially. And so, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, we would ha put on this performance called Living Stations, and there was music, and there was like, acting out the Stations of the Cross, and we would actually go to other churches and like to convents and perform. And again, when you're like 10, 11, 12 years old, you think you are like, this is the coolest thing ever. So, I'm very familiar with obviously the Stations of the Cross, the Easter weekend events that start on Good Friday, with the crucifixion. And I want to talk about resurrection. So after 10 years of Catholic school, I left the church. And in the last decade of my life, as I've been into personal development and specifically personal development related to feminine energy and feminine power, I've gone on a spiritual journey of my own, which is deeply related to the sacred feminine. And one of the things that was so, enlightening for me and really shifted my perspective so much was the fact that there were many ancient cultures and societies that had stories of resurrection, Isis and Osiris being one of them. And I think there's a bunch of them in ancient cultures and societies, where the sun god is killed and resurrects a few days later, right? But the thing that was different that's different between ancient cultures and societies and that story of death and rebirth or death and resurrection compared to Christianity is the ancient cultures and societies, it was always the male and female, right? The masculine and the feminine. And within Christianity and Catholicism, the story of the resurrection centers around Jesus. To me, the reason for the season is Mary Magdalene, because without Mary Magdalene, there would be no Christianity. Period, full stop. Why, you ask? Because she is the one that Jesus resurrected to. She's the one that went back to the disciples and was like, our Savior has risen. And they're like, we don't believe you. You're a woman. So don't believe you. And she's like, it's true. And we need to go tell everybody. And they're like, oh, bad idea. We're too scared because we're men with weak egos. And she's like, I don't care what you are going to do. I'm going to go do this. And she also was a spiritual teacher in her own right. And so to me, there's such this beautiful parallel between not just the remembrance of the feminine presence in this story, and the, again, without the feminine, this would not be a thing. And how over the last, especially 5 years, there has been such a massive resurrection of feminine energy, feminine power, the sacred feminine, women connecting to ancestral and ancient feminine wisdom, calling themselves witches, priestesses. Like when I started a decade ago, it was so weird to even tell people I was a coach. I haven't been a coach for 10 years, but when I first joined School of Womanly Arts, like when I would tell people that I was doing personal development, they looked at me like I had 10 heads. Now, the idea of personal development and coaching and spiritual development is really mainstream, which is so beautiful and so amazing. And similarly, about 7, 8 years ago, when I started really diving into the sacred feminine, I would talk to people about it and they would look at me like I had 10 heads. And now everybody and their mother is saying that they're a witch. And so I'm so grateful that we live this moment where those of us who feel really called to this path of the feminine, where we really get to walk it out in this world so fully. There is no Inquisition. There is no witch trials. There is no, like, I have access to my own money. I can buy a house, have a credit card. I can choose to not be married, to not have kids. I can choose to be married or to have kids, but it's my choice. Like, I know I'm not the only one who has had past life memories and visions of being an ancient priestess, a healer, a shaman, a wise woman. And more than like my past life visions have been, and I would imagine yours have been as well, something where it's like you were hurt, you were killed, you were silenced, you weren't allowed to bring this work forward. And now here we are, bringing this work forward. And again, to me, for the majority of people who follow me, I would say probably are not religious and or are in the process of deconstructing their religion. Just because so much of what I say is quote unquote heretical, like would make me a heretic. And which has also been one of the biggest areas of healing for me is being so called to this path with such deep religious conditioning. And having to choose this path and face the subconscious beliefs and stories of people will think I'm crazy, people will think I'm weird, like this can't be right, this is wrong. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I have, as I've developed a relationship with Mary Magdalene specifically, have leaned so heavy into learning about her from all perspectives, because it's like I want to know what's right, like what is correct information. Because when I learned that Mary Magdalene was a priestess and a sacred sexual priestess at that, an anointing priestess, Mary Magdalene was an anointing priestess, okay? Jesus was quote unquote the anointed one. Who anointed him? Mary Magdalene, ladies. Like, when I started to learn these things, I went through the entire spectrum of emotions because I grew up learning that she was a prostitute. Even though the church rolled back that sentiment in 1969, in the 90s, I was still learning that she was a prostitute. And when I was telling you about those living stations, Mary Magdalene was not there, she was missing. She was not part of that performance, interestingly enough. And it's so interesting to me because she was a priestess, wealthy in her own right, a spiritual leader and teacher in her own right, the feminine half of the Christ consciousness. And so I know that this is also why so many people feel so called to Mary Magdalene right now. And I love it. I love it. It makes me so happy. This is one of the reasons why I have my Mary Magdalene luxury retreat in the fall. Because Our connection to Mary Magdalene is truly this connection to a human woman. And in organized religion, the only models that we have for women are the Virgin Mother, which is an oxymoron in the way that they've distorted it, right? Because virgin, the word virgin used to mean a woman unto herself. Mother Mary was also a priestess. It did not mean that she did not engage in sex, right? But Catholicism and Christianity, warps it. And it's that she had no sexual encounter and that she was born without sin. Well, that's then, and then you're saying that you were just inevitable, like you are born with sin. So it's like, okay, well, she's not a bottle because we are not the same type of being, which is also not true. But, and so Mary Magdalene is, to me, when I look at my journey with the feminine and the sacred feminine and embracing all parts of who I am as a woman, I always come back to Mary Magdalene. Always. And that's why I wanted to record this podcast, because as Easter happens this weekend, which it's happening this weekend because the Catholic Church just took a pagan fertility fe pagan festival, right? And turned it into a church festival. And we hear all of this stuff about Jesus. I want to presence and remember his beloved, Mary Magdalene. I want to presence and remember the woman to which he resurrected too. And again, I don't consider myself Christian. I don't consider myself religious. I consider myself very spiritual. But we all know this story. And because religion, Christianity, Catholicism specifically, has played such a large part in shaping society over the last 2,000 years, because countries, empires, ruling powers have used Christianity to, as an excuse to colonize, to extract, to take over, to use power and control. And then they used Christianity to influence the laws and all of this stuff. So Christian mentality, like the organized religion, is deeply interwoven with the patriarchy and white supremacy. And so for many of us, whether or not you were raised religious, whether or not you still consider yourself religious, you know the story of Jesus dying on the cross and resurrecting. And so again, I just wanted to make this podcast episode to presence the resurrection of the feminine. Like, she's not just rising, she is risen. Feminine energy, feminine power, our connection to our feminine, like, it is here. That era is now. And we are on the leading edge of it. Like, it's just going to get more and better and deeper, which is also so exciting. But when we think about resurrection, right? Something that has died and comes back to life again. To me, that encapsulates what has happened with the feminine over the last 2,000 years. The feminine didn't die, but she was definitely pushed into the underworld. The systematic erasure and the systematic deposing of the feminine from spirituality, from society, from everything. So she didn't die because she was always there, right? And it's really interesting with Mary Magdalene specifically, right? So
In 500 something, I think 530 something, Pope Gregory, some misogynist who had the title of Pope, decides that he's going to do a homily and say that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Now, if you know anything about Catholicism and the Pope, the belief is that the Pope is infallible, meaning they never make a mistake. They never make a mistake because they were hand chosen by God and they basically are God's mouthpiece. So therefore, they never make a mistake. Okay. Meanwhile, for the majority of the Catholic Church, it was just power hungry men. But okay. So in 500 something, misogynist Pope Gregory goes, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. For 15, well, 1400 years, that was the church's stance. Mary Magdalene was the penitent sinner. She was the prostitute. She was like the lowest of the low. Mind you, she was Jesus's beloved. She was a spiritual teacher, a priestess. Like, she lived on post the crucifixion for over 30 years in southern France, continuing her ministry. Okay. She was a leader, but at that time the church didn't want any female leaders, so this was the easiest way to get rid of all of them, to be like the model, quote unquote, was actually a prostitute. Okay. Now, while the Catholic Church is like, Mary Magdalene's a prostitute, in southern France, the pilgrimage to her cave was traveled on by popes and kings and religious people. So they were taking a pilgrimage to her cave in southern France through, like, in the 1200s, 1500s, 1800s. But the Catholic Church is like, she's a prostitute. So that's what I mean. The feminine never died, right? Like, no matter how hard the church tried to be like, Mary Magdalene ain't it, people were still taking a pilgrimage to her cave, which was believed to be her home. And let me just tell you, that pilgrimage will change you on a cellular level. And that's why I'm so excited to host the retreat there again this year. So if you're interested in that, let me know. You can go to themagneticwoman.com/luxury-retreat. And it is a 5-day luxury retreat. We stay in a 5-star hotel. We bring forth your Magdalene lineage, like your Magdalene work in the world. We go to the take a pilgrimage to the cave. We eat delicious food. We drink rosé. We laugh by the pool. It's incredible. So that's why I say the feminine was never full, like never died, but she is risen now. She has resurrected. And with that, what I want to invite you into is looking at what desire, what feminine desires, because the feminine is the part of us that holds desires, have you let die that you are ready to resurrect? So I want you to go ahead and close your eyes right now and just take a few deep breaths. Obviously, if you're listening to this while you're driving or something, can't close your eyes, don't do it. And as you breathe in deeply, I want you to breathe all the way down to pussy. And then just begin to do a few hip circles in place as you breathe. And tuning into pussy, I want you to ask yourself, what desire have you let die that you are ready to resurrect again? And maybe in its resurrection, it takes on a new form or it looks different. If you knew that you could have anything you wanted, that you would not get in trouble, that nobody would get hurt, nobody would be upset, what desire would you allow yourself to have again? If you knew that it was possible. I'd love to hear from you what desire came up. And so again, for me, I'm so grateful that we live at this moment in this time where the feminine has risen, where we get to walk this path, where connecting to Mary Magdalene is normal in a lot of ways. And if you want to deepen a connection with Mary Magdalene, I've included a link for you to get my Mary Magdalene ritual, which is a ritual that I held last year. And especially if you're a woman who feels really called to do work around the feminine in the world, like that you're offering it to the world, this ritual is so, so good because we move through blocks around bringing your soul work to the world and being well compensated for it. Because again, Mary Magdalene was a priestess and she was wealthy. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. If you have any questions Mary Magdalene related, please let me know. It's my favorite topic. Or you can join us at the retreat in October. The link's below, as well as the link for the ritual. And I hope you have an amazing day.